Hey, Mighty Warriors. A little over a week ago, the world lost a foot soldier for Christ, but heaven got an angel for life. I'm talking about one of my mentors. His name was Jeff Casayo, like we used to call him, Coach K. He died a little bit over a week ago. Appropriately enough, Coach was scheduled to speak at a men's conference in Montana the next morning. I have to admit that my heart is both saddened and overjoyed, because saddened by what we've lost as a man. But I'm excited about where he stands today. And I'm excited about the legacy that Coach left behind, not only for me, but countless of other men who he's mentored. My heart and prayers go out to Candy and their two children and grandchild. As I prepare to attend his funeral this week, I am truly thankful I had a chance not only to be mentored by this giant in men's ministry, and to be blessed by his presence, his prayers, and his influence in my life as a man and in this ministry, but also because I had the pleasure to have Coach as a guest on this podcast three times, the most of any guest I've ever had in over 340 episodes. And I was planning on having him on a fourth time. So today on the Real Men Connect podcast, I want to share with you the first interview I did with Coach K back in episode 21. It was about the five types of men. And that was over 3 years ago. It was one of our most downloaded episodes in our archives. If you'd like to listen to my other interviews with Coach K, just go and check out episodes 97 and episode 235. But for now, allow yourself to be blessed by the man who's been a blessing to me for the last 4 years of my ministry. This is my tribute to him. We love you, Coach K. You fought the good fight, you finished the race, and you kept the faith. Now your prize awaits you. You showed yourself a man not only to me, but to literally thousands of men who looked up to you. Thank you for taking the time to pour into a needy soul like me. And thank you for your service to so many. You finally have that eternal tree, brook, and rock you always pray for us as men to have. So enjoy standing in the Father's grip. Can I ask you a question? Are you a leader? Are you a leader of men? But does leading men often leave you frustrated? Because they won't get involved. They don't seem to care as much as you do. They find it difficult to trust and open up to one another. They don't seem to keep their commitments to you or your team. But what if I told you it's because all men are not created equal, especially when it comes to their spiritual maturity? And that's why it's been said in ministry that a man is the hardest thing to reach. But our guest today will give you insight on how to go to where men are as a leader in order to bring them to where God wants them to be in Christ. So if you're a ministry leader, coach, team leader, or mentor, this Real Men Connect episode is just for you. Real Men Connect, episode 21.
Welcome to Real Men Connect. Are you ready to be the extraordinary man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be? Then get ready to receive wisdom and guidance from some of the country's most respected men of faith as you learn everything you need to know to go from good man to great man, God's way. No judgment, no shame. Just real men with real challenges seeking real change. All for God's glory.
Hello, mighty men of God, and welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. I'm your host, Dr. Joe Martin, and every week we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Each interview session is packed with practical, proven biblical principles you can immediately apply in your relationships, on your job, and in your community. Today we have with us Jeff Casayo, or how we like to call him, Coach K. Coach K is the National Field Director for Man in the Mirror. Coach K provides ministry expertise and oversight to the Man in the Mirror's field staff located all across the country. He travels extensively to provide field observations that are crucial to Man in the Mirror's overall mission to see every church disciple, every man. Coach K has been married for 35 years to his beautiful wife, Candy, and they have two children and one grandchild. Now, I met Coach K about a year ago when I decided to join Man in the Mirror's team as an area director and now as a field representative. And you will soon find out Coach K's knowledge and passion for reaching and engaging and empowering men is contagious. Now, I asked Coach to join us today to talk to us about the five types of men and the best ways to reach them as mentors, disciple makers, and ministry leaders. And I am so excited. So with that being said, Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, Joe, it's awesome to be with you. Thanks for inviting us to be on the podcast.
Oh, man, I'm excited because, Coach, I've been exposed to you, and I know you, and I know your passion for men, and I know that the people out there listening today are going to be so excited like I am about the importance of reaching men for the glory of God. Now, Coach, we always start the show because I tell you, even before we came on air, that I have a lot of questions. Hopefully I'll get to most of them, if not all of them. But we always ask the men when they come on to the show to tell us what their favorite Bible verse is and why. So what's your favorite Bible verse, Coach?
Joe, as a young man growing up, Psalm 37:4 was really intriguing to me, where the scripture says, "Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." And as a young man growing up in a pastor's home, you know, I want to have a heart yielded after God. And I felt like that particular passage of scripture really phrased my heart's desire. It's to delight in him. And then he'll give us the privilege to go out there and glorify him with the desires of our heart.
Fantastic, Coach. Now, Coach, before you joined Man in the Mirror, you served as an associate pastor for nearly 30 years. What motivated and inspired you to start working with men in the first place?
Well, it actually goes back to my high school coaching days, where our moniker came from. And I had a chance to be involved in high school athletics for 6 years and then transition into pastoral ministry, working out of an athletic group, just began to coach men in the game of life. And so this was always inspired to, be involved in a man's life, try to make a difference. My passion is to encourage people, primarily men. And so to transition from the athletic field to the game of life was a natural transition. And I just have operated from that grid over these years.
Now, Coach, back when you were, because you mentioned just now that you grew up in the home of a pastor. Was there a pivotal point in your life or anything in your past that really inspired you to say, you know, this is important? What was the inspiration behind? Because I know I didn't start out with a passion for going into men's ministry, but I had a turning point in my life. What was that for you that kind of sparked that interest?
It really started. My father was a model of serving God, but I needed a mentor. And I had a youth pastor that came alongside of me when I was in my teen years, and he saw something in me that I didn't see. And he began to give me opportunities to share devotionals and things with the youth group. And I can well remember as a 10th grader sitting at my desk studying Ephesians 6. And all of a sudden, these truths from God's word began to just become very real to me. And I thought that'd be great to go challenge. I love athletics. I love the military. Both of those grids work real well with men. So that youth pastor investing in me is where it got all started as far as wanting to pursue God in a life of ministry.
Okay. And Coach, I've met very few men, and I've met a lot of men over this country, but I've met very few who are more passionate about reaching men than you are. Could you share with us, why do you feel it's so important at this day and age to reach men?
Well, I see a lack of intentionality, both in the organized church as well as just individual lives. And so that's a mission that I'm on each day, is to overcome. In churches, for example, there's three common mistakes: a lack of intentionality, a lack of multiple entry points. We'll talk about those with these five types of men. And then we don't know our players. I want to know my players as a high school coach. And I think we don't know our players in Christendom as it comes to reaching and discipling those men. So I'm on a personal crusade to see that take place individually, as well as collectively with leaders from churches and other ministry organizations.
Okay, and if you could repeat those three mistakes that you said that we make in trying to mentor and disciple men. What were those three again?
I noticed that during my days here in Charlotte, where I served as a men's pastor, and I was connected with about 30 churches in our region, because things that God shares with us, I want to go and impart those to others. And let's learn this thing together. We need kingdom brothers out there. We need to have allies together. And I noticed within the sister churches in Charlotte, there was a lack of intentionality, which means they are focused on the other three subgroups of their congregation: women, students, and children. And we want them to be focused. We want to see all three of those subgroups discipled, but not to the point of men being left behind. The second mistake that was commonly made was a lack of multiple entry points. I found that churches had Bible studies taking place oftentimes for guys that were very deeply connected. But the fellows that were on the fringe, which is really what I've given my entire life to personally, they were being left behind, and they needed some additional on-ramps to find connection with God. And then the third common mistake was just to be able to get up there in a life-on-life scenario. The highlight of my ministry day was a Barnabas luncheon appointment. I called it the BLA tour. And to have a chance to crawl in a man's foxhole, talk to him about how things are at work, How are things at home? And how are things in your walk with God? And then let them drive the train based on where they work, their point of interest. And so those were examples that I saw. And I've seen those repeated now around the country, having traveled to 36 states. The average church is still making at least one, oftentimes two, and on some occasion, all three of those mistakes.
Wow. Wow. And Coach, you work with a lot of ministry leaders and you work with a lot of pastors and you've been an associate pastor yourself. What seems to be the biggest complaint that you hear from the ministry leaders when it comes to reaching men? Because you just mentioned the mistakes and we see that and they may be making those mistakes unintentionally. But what seems to be the biggest complaint you hear from the leader's perspective?
Well, going back to these fringe guys, you know, to use a golfing analogy, the average church typically is very comfortable ministering to those guys who are on the green. And those who are close to the pen, who have a strong desire for God. James 4:8, you know, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Well, those guys are easy to work with because they're showing spiritual hunger. They're delighting in the Lord, as we read earlier in Psalm 37. But I'm interested in those guys out there on the fringe, or even as others would say, those fellows in the woods that are entrapped by the snares of this world. And so I find that, you know, a pastor in Pennsylvania told me this recently. I like to inquire with leaders to respect their church culture. And I'll often ask them, what is your greatest challenge with reaching these men on the fringe? And a pastor recently in Pennsylvania told me, he said, those men just don't get it. And I flipped the coin on him and I said, hey, let me ask you this question. Do we really get those men? And so I've given my life to knowing these kinds of guys, to see the burden that their wife is carrying, to see their husband become a spiritual leader of the family. And I believe we don't know those men. And so when leaders have a teachable and a humble spirit and desire to get to know those guys, then they can become more effective in reaching them.
Right. And that makes perfect sense, Coach. Coach, I recently spoke at a men's gathering about maybe 60 to 70 men, and ages range from 30 plus and up. And if I had to say there was a median age, probably I would say it was maybe in the early 40s. But I asked them to fill out a survey for me. And one of the questions I asked is, at this stage in your life, what do you desire more, to have a mentor or to be a mentor? Basically, to be discipled or to disciple someone else. And I was shocked, Coach, and maybe it doesn't surprise you because you have more experience than I have in working with different churches and ministry leaders. But over 90% of those men said that they wanted to be a mentor. And I'm always looking at men struggling and having the problems that they have. So I was kind of surprised that most of them felt they wanted to mentor someone else. Why do you think that's the case?
Well, a man can't give away what he hasn't experienced himself.
Right.
You and I have had long discussions about your background from South Florida and what an amazing God story that you were rescued from that situation. But for guys that have been exposed and have some experience in gaining a greater awareness of who God is, now they want to go make him known. Then when the pendulum swings like that and they want to get on the offense and go invest into other people's lives, that's a fascinating experience. And I think a lot of times a guy may say, hey, for the next fellow who may waste a lot of his life not having a chance to acquire and to be exposed to some of these tremendous biblical truths, then I definitely want to go take what's been given to me and give it away to somebody else.
Right. And Coach, what about that man, though, who is struggling himself? Like you said, if you've been given to you, you want to give it away because it's out of gratitude and thankfulness. But I'm talking about, what about even the men who I see who are struggling, but instead of dealing with their own issues, they're ready to try to bring along somebody else because I know they want to spare them of the pain. But I always thought that was an interesting dynamic because I always thought you have to get healed first or get help first before you can help some others. Am I missing a point somewhere along that?
Well, it should be a both and.
Right.
You know? Just like in my travels around America, I've sat down with leaders from over 500 churches now in these 36 states, and I always draw insight from them. I become a better leader as a result of being in their locker room, so to speak.
Right.
Having a chance to look at some game film. How are they trying to be most effective in reaching their men? Therefore, it's also the case, I found that going back to the story I mentioned to you at age 16, I didn't feel worthy to get up and share insights from God's word with fellow, you know, high school students in our youth ministry. But, you know, that on-the-job training, being able to learn yourself and be able to pass it away. So it's got to be a both-and approach. And maybe some guys feel like that will expedite the training of others. It'll also expedite their own understanding of who God is. There's something about just getting out there in somebody's foxhole. You gain insight yourself as you're also trying to give those insights away.
Coach, that makes perfect. I'm glad you said that. That makes perfect sense. Yeah, because I guess in a sense, what you're saying is that as they give, they grow. And so they're growing and giving at the same time. So I guess you would encourage even men out there who may think they're not, quote, qualified, or they're in a spiritual mature place to be able to disciple another man or mentor another man, that you would encourage him to do it anyway. Is that correct?
Exactly. I'm really on a crusade to see apprenticeships return. Mm-hmm. We had those in the business world for so long. And so we need to see that also in the world of Christendom. And so I always, even with leadership teams, you know, let's just don't pick the guys who are the seasoned veterans. Let's bring some rookies along because they have fresh insights. Who better than another rookie to reach out to a fellow rookie
right.
who's just kind of getting started on this journey of faith?
Right.
And so that they can bring a fresh set of eyes, a new set of observations that can be crucial. And again, it's really on-the-job training. And so I find that to be a very beneficial aspect.
Now, Coach, is there, I don't know if you're able to answer this or not, but is there a way that a man could tell if he's not ready? And because he may do more damage than good. Is there a way to find that out, or how does he know?
Well, I think that leads into our discussion of these five types of men.
Right.
Not just to help train leaders to understand there's five types in the reach, but what's interesting is, as I travel the country and even around the world, having been in Curacao recently, and so many of the guys that attended that conference said, now I know where I am on my own journey to biblical manhood. And mm-hmm. that gives me an understanding of, therefore, what I need to apply, what do I need to find a greater awareness of, so I can grow myself, as well as then being able to give away my faith eventually.
And that's a perfect transition, Coach, into let's just now discuss those five types of men, because I really think, I know when I first heard you give this, you gave a talk on the five types of men, and it really opened my eyes as a ministry leader, even working in my local church, of like, wow, I've been doing it wrong. You know, I see now where that you can't approach everybody the same way. You can't approach every man the same way because he's at different stages. So I can't wait for you to share those five types. So let's start with, what are the five types of men that are out there, and how can we reach them?
Well, just overall, let's go through all five of them as far as a summary, and we'll come back and break them down one-on-one.
Okay.
So this is part of what we call at Man in the Mirror a wide to deep discipleship continuum. It's like a graph, a chart that kind of shows us the progress of a man on his own journey towards faith, and then obviously being able to delight himself in God, as we read from Psalm 37. So on the left-hand side of this whole process is the first type of man, and he's the guy who is the natural man, according to the book of Corinthians, when Paul said that the natural man doesn't understand the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man has a life focus on himself. The second type of man is the cultural Christian. Churches all across America, that's the largest percentage of men in a people group as they evaluate these types that are there. They're hitting the spiritual time clock on Sunday because they have a life focus of me and God. Me's on the front burner, God's only on the back burner. The third type of man is now starting to take some steps. He's starting to reprioritize his life. He gets God on the front burner of his life. And now as a biblical disciple, his life focus is God and me. So we see a turn of events. We see some life transformation begin to take place. He's starting to take God more seriously. He's the biblical disciple. However, most churches are happy when guys begin to reprioritize their lives, and they tend to back away. There's that next level of growth, and that's for a man to become a servant leader. He needs to become a disciple maker, not just a disciple, but also to be able to give this away. He has a life focus that's on God and others. So me gets completely off the stove. Mm-hmm. You see, in the natural man's world, it's obviously very understandable why he would have a life focus in me. The cultural Christian, thinking about me and God. The biblical disciple, God and me. That's good, but let's move to the next level. Just like your ministry statement, let's go from good to great. And the good to great in this whole spiritual journey is to have a life focus of God and others. Now, there's a fifth type of man. He comes from any of these four categories. He's not a separate category. Mm-hmm. He can come from any of these other four, and that's the hurting man. And his life focus is the question, where is God?
Wow. Okay. And see, and let me quickly go back over those again. You said there's a natural man, the cultural Christian, the biblical Christian, the servant leader, and the hurting man. Now, Coach, you mentioned that the largest percentage percentage comes from the cultural Christian side. Well, before, because I want to go right there and start talking about that, but let's go back to the natural man. So tell us some nuances and or things about the natural man and how we could reach out to that man, because I believe that a lot of our friends, especially if we're born again Christians and we came from the secular world, we're going to have a friend that we kind of, it's like, what is this conversion of you? What is this thing? You know, you're going to church every Sunday or you're reading your Bible more. And so these are our natural friends who are natural men. How do we reach that man?
You know, these guys are really forgotten in the average church or organization attempting to reach out to guys. And so in addition to giving my life to reaching these men on the fringe, these cultural Christians that we already have a connection with, let's don't neglect these fellows. And so when we talk to a leadership team, for example, and leaders are tuning in today to become more effective in reaching men currently on their watch, we always try to cast a vision for, hey, who are the guys you haven't even thought about yet? They're going to be wives who attend local congregations whose husbands are spiritually disconnected. They're these natural men. And a church is for, mm-hmm. Wives and their kids. And so they're just completely disconnected. But they should be on our watch. They should be on what I call our team roster. A lot of churches have a directory that includes their database. But we got to have a team roster. If we're going to know our players, let's include those guys who we already have a connection with, and we're not even fully aware of that. We're not leveraging like we should. So we talk about having conversations with the women's ministry leaders, having conversations with those student pastors, having conversations with children's ministry. Give me all the spiritually disconnected dads. Let me put them on my roster. Give me those spiritually disconnected husbands so I can begin to look for ways to engage with those guys through what I call the ministry of hanging out. Those fellows don't want to be invited to some deep-in Bible study because they don't have a life focus yet upon God. So I need to go get on their turf before they walk through my turnstiles. And so that natural man who needs Christ, he needs to be called to live in Christ. And so let's get those names on our team roster and let's look for some creative ways to reach after those guys.
Now, Coach, though, but if the man is, if that natural man is not attending church and he's disconnected spiritually, and even his, and probably his wife wants him to be connected, how do we get to him? If he's not, because obviously the men in the church are looking at the men in the church, how do we get connected to him if he's out there so far away?
Well, let's do a case study and let's talk about a specific guy whose wife attended the church. I'm going to go have a conversation, or at least my wife would have that conversation with her. What are some hobbies and interests that your husband enjoys? And so that's going to be my point of entry. I'm going to establish an on-ramp through something that he enjoys. At Man in the Mirror, we say it this way. Give a man what he needs in the context of what he wants. So I've taken guys to college football games. I've taken guys to auto fairs. We've taken our sons out to a father-son camp out, sporting venues. If he's an outdoorsman, I need to find out how God has wired him to enjoy life. And for him to see, guess what? We can go have fun as well. Real Men Connect, the title of your ministry. Hey, they need to see us as real guys. And real guys can enjoy connection points based upon the hobby and interest. Now, if that particular individual I want to target, he has a hobby or interest that's not one of mine, then I want to put him in the path of somebody who does enjoy those things. And so therefore, it becomes a natural process. We begin to build a bridge. Those guys tell me frequently, wow, you're just real guys. You love real guy stuff, but you believe in a real God. And I'm interested in hearing more about this. So you win them over through the ministry of hanging out.
Mm-hmm. And so basically what you're saying then is that through the wife, you can find out what his interests and his hobbies are and try to use that as a bridge to build, to connect with him. That makes perfect sense.
Exactly.
Okay, now let's go to the cultural Christian, Coach. Tell us a little bit more about him and how can we reach him?
Yeah, he's going to have the largest percentage of all five types. And like I said, I've given my life to reaching these guys. So if the first category of man who needs Christ, he's over here in the woods. And now we've got this cultural Christian. You know, he's out there in the sand trap, or at the minimum or maximum, he's on the fringe levels. He's going to join his wife occasionally. He's going to hit that spiritual time clock. He may do more than Christmas and Easter, but he's not engaged in any other level. And now, oftentimes, he wants more in his faith, but a church that is completely focused over on the deeper end of this continuum we referred to earlier is not giving him an on-ramp to come and get to know God better. I see constantly churches making mistakes. Now, there are some times, however, that these individuals might have just bought some fire insurance a long time ago. They may just be experiencing counterfeit faith. They haven't understood the true gospel. And so only God would know the heart of a man in that particular situation. But I'm trying to teach churches to say, wow, let's make sure we're intentional in trying to devise some strategies to reach these guys effectively. They, you know, want to be able to drop in. They're not looking for some long-term commitments. But once they come in and get a taste, once they get a chance to grasp a little bit about this journey to biblical manhood, oftentimes light bulbs turn off or turn on, and they begin to show some progress, and they have a desire to go further in their faith. And so those on-ramps, those entry points, are so crucial for these guys. Now, we might have had a chance to take them to enjoy something within their hobby or interest. Now let's go to the next level. And oftentimes I'll take them to a larger conference so they can be with hundreds of men so they don't feel like they're being pigeonholed quite yet into a smaller group. That comes later. Let's put them into a large gathering. Let them experience something that's very, very enjoyable, maybe something practical. We can talk about finances and establishing budgets and stuff like that. Maybe a parenting class. At Man in the Mirror, we have a seminar called Dads That Make a Difference. You know, what dad doesn't want to become a better father? And so we can look for those opportunities to engage them, and then they get an opportunity to say, hey, I'd like to have more. I need to grow in a greater awareness of what God has for me. So though they have a me and God life focus, let's reach them where they are and look for ways to connect them so they go deeper in their faith.
You know, it's interesting that with the natural man, we make the connection with him one-on-one in something that engage in something that he enjoys doing. But it's interesting that you say with the cultural Christian, though, we can't put them into a small group, but we need to put them in a larger group where they're connected to men. I think that's an interesting dynamic. I think that's great.
Therefore, a guy can kind of come and kick the tires, you know.
Right.
Nobody wants to be back into a corner yet. So let's give him plenty of freedom to enter and exit at his desire. And we got to be patient with these guys. So many fellows want to see quick fixes for these guys. And we're going to take a long-term, low-pressure approach. Let him come kick the tires. Let him come check it out. Let's see how God is working in his life to take next steps.
That makes perfect sense, Coach. Now, let's go to the biblical Christian man. Okay, tell us about him and how can we reach him?
So now we have churches that typically want to start with these guys. Again, they're already on the green. They're not yet closest to the pin, but they're on the surface. And so they're showing some desires. They're taking some steps. Again, we got to go there and help that natural man one-on-one, and we got to work in groups with the cultural Christian. But now when the fellow's ready to take some right next steps, his life focus begins to change. He begins to reprioritize, and now God, again, gets on that front burner of life. And as a result of that, he wants to take some deeper steps. He's willing to give you more commitment. He's willing to start putting a little prep into what's going on in his life. And again, a lengthier time of commitment. He might consider now going on a mission trip. A lot of churches, you know, rally guys around those opportunities and things like that. And so this guy's willing to take some steps to be involved. He'll get involved more into a study where I found that cultural Christians do well in discussion groups. And so, but now the biblical disciple, again, what is the definition of a disciple? A pupil, a student, or a learner. You travel the country, meeting in educational environments. And so when that person begins to take an interest and they really want to drill down, then let's place them in venues where they can grow in their faith. But that life focus, when that light bulb turns on, that's an answer to prayer for that wife. It's obviously a move of the Spirit of God. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. So we can strategize this stuff, but it's got to be a work of God. But what a tremendous, awesome experience is to watch God work in a man's life. And he begins to take strides to grow in his faith and become that biblical disciple with a life focus of God and me.
Right. And Coach, you know, it's so interesting about this is as you're going through this, and I remember the first time I heard you talk about it, I watched my development as a Christian man as I went through all of these different phases, all these different stages. And you're right on point with this. And I'm like, wow, I didn't really. And the thing that jumps out at me the most is the focus. I mean, when I was focused only on myself. And then I remember that shift to then, okay, I'm myself, but then God is on the back burner as a second priority. And then when you, like you said, when I reprioritized and God became first and then me, but I can't wait to hear you talk about this fourth type of man, which is the servant leader. Tell us about him and how can we as ministry leaders and disciple makers and mentors reach this particular man?
So to use this stove analogy, we've had a common denominator with all three of these types of men: me, me and God, and God and me. But as we walk through the scriptures, we see Jesus Christ reaching out to those earliest disciples himself. He was looking for those guys to become that servant leader. And a servant leader will exemplify a life focus of God and others. We're getting vertically connected with God in such a way that now horizontally, we're really starting to connect with not just men, but others in our life, our families, our wives, folks in the community. And so that servant leader, he gets to that sweet spot in that Christian experience that reflects that life focus of God and others. So many churches, you know, they get frustrated. They throw rocks at those guys down there in categories 1 and 2. Well, they still have a spiritual interest. They're not delighting themselves in the Lord. Well, let's put what's on our watch and helping to motivate that. And or if a guy is making some progress and he's showing himself to be a biblical disciple, then they sit back and, as the Old Testament writers would say, at ease in Zion. And we don't want to be at ease. We want to continue to show growth and pursuit of God to such a degree where me gets off the stove and others replaces that. So my focus vertically is staying connected with God, and then horizontally, Father, who might you place me in the path of this coming week? Who out there you're going to use me strategically? We don't deserve it. We desire it. And so as we delight ourselves in him, then he gives us the desires of our heart, and that desire gets off of ourselves. That doesn't mean there's not more development. We just continue to go on. This is like a number line in algebra class. It has an arrow at the end of it. None of us ever arrive this side of heaven. We continue to grow in a greater awareness of God. We become focused on others. We want to see them join us, so we become a disciple maker and start to connect with these guys in such a way that they join us on the journey to biblical manhood. So there's a higher commitment. You're willing to be involved in much more prep. You go through that apprenticeship process. Then all of a sudden, you assume a leadership role. A lot of guys, are going back to an earlier question about guys wanting to mentor, you know, I think God has placed within the heart of every man the ability to lead. Now, they may not be behind a microphone and be a great communicator like you, but they can lead their families. They can lead their communities. They can become a leader in their church. And so there's an aspect of leadership that these guys discover with this God and others mindset.
Excellent, Coach. Excellent. Now, Coach, let's get to this last category. What you really say is not really a category, because all the other four men could be in these things. But I know that this is a passion of mine, of reaching out to hurting men, because I can relate to a lot of the pain and suffering that a lot of men have gone through. But I want you to spend some time talking about this group, this hurting men's group, and what can we do to help them heal and help them grow?
I just wrote an article recently for our quarterly magazine, Equipping the Man in the Mirror, on this particular topic, because while I've been most passionate about this second group, I believe we don't get these guys versus what the pastor in Pennsylvania says. They don't get discipleship. I believe we have fumbled the ball and we've not reached out to them effectively. I'd say the second group, and it is rising to a quick summary of this. I'm crawling a lot of foxholes over these many years, and I find a lot of hurting men. Hurting men lose their jobs. Every man needs a place to hang their hat. That's what my dad used to say. And when a guy doesn't have a place to hang his hat, it becomes a difficult place. And then sometimes God, it may be in his sovereign plan, a guy may lose his health. And a fellow really wants to play it close to the vest. He may not tell, because he didn't have a foxhole friend to begin with. But losing his health can be that. I've seen guys lose their family. I had five guys at our church here in Charlotte whose wives had an affair on them. And in the old days in the business world, we found a lot of temptations for the male gender. But in the modern working world, a lot of women are traveling with work and things like that. So the temptations arise there. And so we had guys face that situation. And that was a tough time. And the thing that ultimately affects a hurting man is when he loses his hope. When discouragement leads to despair and despair leads to despondency, hey, as Pat Morley says, who are you going to call at 2 o'clock in the morning? And so I call those guys, we got to be foxhole friends to these fellas. And so that hurting man, he may be the natural man. And the first step for us is to go call on that foxhole and talk to him about what it means when he's lost his dad. He may be the cultural Christian who's lost his job, and the average church is inviting him to a Bible study and gets frustrated when he doesn't show an interest. Well, let's go call on this foxhole and talk about how to you know, reprioritize his resume and give him some practical steps by landing back in the workforce. Then in turn, we gained his trust to say, man, you've been a great inspiration to me. You've prayed through me through this time in my life where I really felt worthless. And I'd like to hang around with you more. What is that group meet that you're connected with? Those things typically happen when we crawl in that hurting man's foxhole. The biblical disciple. I've seen guys, again, whose family members have walked away from them. So how do they handle when those broken mirrors take place? And so we're there to walk alongside and, again, to be that foxhole friend. And sometimes it's a leader who's serving God faithfully. He's very connected vertically. He's so interested in solving the lives, in investing in the lives of others. But sometimes personal pain and anguish will come his way. And as a result of that, again, let's go call on those guys foxhole. So the hurting man, he's asking the question, where is God? And let's be there. We may not always answer the question. The one thing I noticed over the years in crawling in foxholes so many times, even when God is silent, he is never absent. And that's the mm-hmm. biggest lesson I've learned and I've tried to pass along to guys who are hurting men.
And Coach, I tell you, when I'm on social media and I post a lot of things. I try to inspire people and inspire especially men and give them encouragement and hope. But I noticed something when I was organizing my posts, because I organize them according to topics. And I watched the response, because you get the analytics of what people engage with and what they connect with. And overwhelmingly, and this goes along exactly what you're talking about, Coach, overwhelmingly, the most popular posts are posts dealing with hurt and overcoming and giving men hope. And I thought that was very interesting, but based on the way you broke it down, that's when they're probably most receptive to help, to hearing the gospel, to receiving support. And so that hurting man, do you think that we do enough as a church, I'm talking about the body and church of Christians, do you think we do enough to reach out to the hurting man?
The way I say it, Joe, is this. When the ships dock in the average harbor on a given Sunday morning, we rarely get below the waterline. In mm-hmm. a three-minute conversation in the hallway, I can talk about surface issues. But oftentimes, you know, I'm going to be passing one out of four guys is hurting in some fashion. And that's why mm-hmm. we've got to be able to get below the waterline and take an interest in their lives. And then for guys to get emotionally healthy enough to raise the window shade. It works on both ends. There sometimes is an awareness that there's hurt and pain, but there's not the openness and receptivity on the individual to welcome somebody in their world. That's why as we go back across these five types to know, and this, I use it now, an analogy of teaching about the digital person. So maybe a cultural Christian is a 2.3 or he's a mm-hmm. 2.6, but he goes through pain and he drops back to a 2.1. Maybe he's not yet firmly established that kind of an openness. Maybe he's just starting to raise the window shade a little bit, but now can I trust somebody to crawl in my foxhole and be able to deal with me during this time of pain. So we've got to work both on the individual, creating receptivity, and then also we've got to increase our awareness to know our players and to know when and how and where to crawl in that foxhole.
Right, right. Now, Coach, some of the men out there who are listening are not ministry leaders, and you had mentioned that earlier, but they have a sincere desire to disciple and mentor a young man. What would be the first thing you suggest that person do if they're not a, quote, leader in their church and not being put in charge of a ministry, but they have a desire to reach out to a young person? Where would you suggest that they start?
Well, first of all, I would just applaud their willingness to make the investment. That's such a huge right. step for guys. And again, the average guy, when you talk about leadership, they kind of look around the back of the room. Well, they must be talking about somebody else because I don't consider myself to be a leader. And so you appreciate the humility, but I also want to applaud their availability. So if a guy wants to go make an investment, and again, this is a crucial issue. The number one issue I hear around the country is how to reach these millennials. We talk about mm-hmm. the target audience for the podcast. We've all got to be looking at the next generation behind us. And a lot of them are looking for mentors. And so again, timing is crucial. We want to look at chemistry and affinity. Who do you have chemistry with? Who do you have an affinity for? A lot of times it's based on some of these hobbies or interests that we find the natural pathway to investing into people's lives. So I would gauge that openness. I would gauge that willingness. And then to determine chemistry or affinity, maybe one of my best friends has better chemistry and affinity with somebody I'd like to mentor, well, we might just trade some baseball cards. And the guy he's starting to target, who may be a lover of college football, which is going to be in my repertoire, then I'll go invest time there, you know, invite him over to my man cave. Let's sit down and have a TV viewing party. He likes college basketball. I mean, let's get over here and watch March Madness together, fill out some brackets, begin to establish, you know, a rapport with him, and then see where that goes. You know, it's taking one step at a time based upon the interest level with somebody else we'd like to invest with.
Well, that's good, Coach. And it's funny, Coach, I was just thinking, I've been talking to you for the last, I guess, half an hour or so, and even before the call, and I never once mentioned March Madness, because I know you are a huge, huge basketball fan.
Yeah, we're over here in the ACC country, so we like to hoop it up over here. So obviously Duke and Carolina is the most famous college basketball rivalry. So that's what I do as well, personally. And I just travel the country and invest in the lives of leaders, but I like to flesh this out. And so I've got a man cave over here. We invite guys. We watch Clemson play Alabama for the college football national championship, but they'll be here for March Madness.
And you get my condolences on that, Coach. My condolences
to
you.
we climbed to the top of the mountain, Joe. We just couldn't quite plant the flag. We'll be back. But yeah.
But Coach, you take advantage then of the opportunity. You take advantage of your interests and your hobbies to bring men and invite men into your life. I think that's great.
Well, it just lives out what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 2:8. I delighted to not only to give you the gospel of God, but to share my life as well. And so I learned the ministry of hanging out by being a chaplain with the Motor Racing Outreach Ministry here in Charlotte that's targeting the NASCAR communities. I was a shop chaplain in one of the NASCAR shops. And so they just taught us about the ministry of hanging out. And well, we did have gatherings where fellas could come and gain some insights and learn more about God and his plan for their life. It was nothing like this mixing and mingling with the shop and then hanging out with these guys at a one-on-one level and doing stuff off-site with them. So we use that same approach in discipling men in our church. And so, yeah, we try to live that out. I love to get in a car and take some guys off on a hiking trip or to a college football game or host them at our man cave. My wife, many times, will have their wives over too and combine that to kind of give her a read on how they're doing with their marriages. We do a lot of double dates together. So we're going to be spending time already. So, you know, just taking advantage of where people can be spending time already. And then ministry breaks out. And so I call that the ministry of hanging out.
Right. And Coach, I'm going to embarrass you for just a moment here because I didn't tell you about this beforehand. But after hearing you talk about the ministry of hanging out, I'm not a very sociable person. People find that kind of surprising, but I'm not. I prefer to be alone. But when God called me to men's ministry and to reach out to men, and I heard you talk about the ministry of hanging out, I became very intentional about it. And this is me in full disclosure to the people out there listening, that even when my wife and I were buying our home, we bought a new home and we bought a pretty decent sized home. But we took into account that we wanted to have a home that people could hang out at, that we can invite people over to do ministry. And not ministry in the typical sense that it has to be a Bible study, but just what you just said, Coach, that they can hang out. And I don't want to embarrass you, but I got to tell you, it motivated me to step outside of my comfort zone. And so since we moved into this home back in August, we've probably had about maybe 12 gatherings since August of last year. Just inviting people over to the game, to the Super Bowl, to the NCAA championship, to whatever, just like you said, and it was out of my comfort zone. So for all the men out there who may be struggling with this, thinking that's just not my personality, that's just not my style, Coach, I'm living proof that with intentionality and much prayer and grace that you can do this. So I'm glad that you're bringing this message to the forefront because it's made a huge impact in my life. Thank you. I appreciate that.
That's fantastic, Joe. And you think about Jesus, you know, and the famous story we learned as kids, those of us who grew up in church anyway, and you heard about the story of Zacchaeus. He did not stand at the base of that sycamore tree and invite, hey, Zach, come on down. Let's go over to systematic theology class. No. He said, I want to go to your house. You know, that was a special privilege in the Middle Eastern culture to be invited into somebody's home and to break bread together, to spend some time. And we've gotten away from that in modern America. And so we've got to have a chance to do exactly what you just got finished describing in a natural way. And my wife has the gift of hospitality. She loves to host people. And we've got this man cave here so we can enjoy some sporting venues. And so let's take advantage of those, look for creative strategies that people can feel very comfortable. And like you said, no formal process, of discipleship. It's the informal. We don't leverage enough informal opportunities. As I travel the country, I tell people this. The largest church in America is Panera Bread Community Church. Most of these places all across America have these clusters of 3 to 5 men who are there. And I'm thinking, I'm glad that those guys are taking advantage, just have a cup of coffee, you know, break some bread in the early morning. Sometimes there's an official study taking place, but just getting guys together to sharpen some iron. And the wives need that as well. Every time we get together, the wives enjoy gathering, and they enjoy their gal time. And my wife is there spearheading that. And we do things together as couples. And so it's a beautiful experience, and I'm just super thrilled to hear you taking advantage of that in Chattanooga.
And Coach, it's been a huge blessing because it is uncomfortable for me, but I've learned now that I see the benefit of it. And I'm become like my wife is like your wife, like Candy. She has the gift of hospitality. She loves doing that kind of stuff, but it's very uncomfortable for me. But over these few months of doing it since August, it's been the biggest blessing, not only to me and my growth as a Christian, but I'm, like you said, I'm reaching those men out there on the fringe who are now a little bit more open and receptive to be invited to other things. So it works. I'm a living testimony of that. Now, Coach, it's time for the man up questions. And these are 5 quick questions, starting with the letters M-A-N-U-P. And we just ask you the questions, and Coach, you shoot from the hip and just answer those questions as honestly as possible. Are you ready?
Ready to go, Joe.
And we'll get to those questions in just after this short break, and we'll be right back with Coach. If you're like most men in our audience, you're committed to becoming the man, husband, father, and leader God called and created you to be. But the truth of the matter is, you struggle with either finding the time or knowing where to start. That's exactly why I created the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, to give you a step-by-step, easy-to-follow guide to spiritually leading your family, even if you're a new believer. Now, you can't buy the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, but you can get it for free by signing up for our free e-newsletter. By signing up, you will be notified anytime fresh content is added to my site, so you don't always have to visit my blog to stay up to date on the latest information. Now, to get your free copy of the Real Men Spiritual Leader Blueprint, just visit realmenconnect.com and simply enter your name and email address on the form on the page. So if you're tired of trying to figure it all out and fit it all in as the spiritual leader, provider, and protector of your family, don't miss your chance to discover how to be the man God called and created you to be. Sign up today at realmenconnect.com. All right, now, Coach, here's the man up question. The M stands for mistake. Now, Coach, what mistake did you learn the most from as a man? I can't wait. I couldn't wait to ask you the man up questions, because you obviously had a lot of success in your life. But what was the biggest mistake that you learned from as a man?
1993, I was looking for God to lay all the cards on the table with a difficult issue. I was a hurting man in September and October of 1993, going through the biggest challenge that I've ever went through. In my entire life as a believer. And I walked by a fourth grade girl one day. Good friends of ours were with us, and their fourth grade daughter was assembling a jigsaw puzzle. She had no box top, and she only had about half those 1,000 pieces. And when I saw that on that table, I walked away and I said, I'm gonna tell your dad how proud he should be of your effort and determination in assembling this jigsaw puzzle without having the box top. You have no clue of what the end's going to be inside. But when I walked away from that card table, very quickly I got a prompting from God who said, listen, this is the lesson I want to teach you as you go through this struggle in your life. I can't give you all the pieces of the puzzle because you would not depend upon me. I've got the box top. One of these days you're going to understand what I've been up to. I just want to mold you and shape you into my image as you go through this period of suffering in your life. And so the mistake of wanting God to put all 1,000 pieces down on the table was the biggest mistake I've ever made. But the biggest lesson he ever taught me was that he's got the box top, and the pieces he has given me are found in his 66 books. And I got to trust him with what's sitting out there and walk with him along the way.
Right. Coach, I still struggle with that, of having, God, can't you give me all the pieces? You know, want to know the full picture beforehand. But I love the way you described that and explained that. Thank you so much. Now, Coach, the A represents attitude. And you've worked with a lot of men. You've seen a lot of men all over this country. If you could change one attitude in men, husbands, fathers, what would it be?
Well, I tell people that I want to be remembered for three things: vision, passion, and intentionality. And if I could choose the one attitude, it would be intentionality. I find that men are very unintentional in their own desire to pursue God, as well as attempting to reach others with this life focus of God and others. And so the lack of intentionality is the one attitude change I would call out.
Okay. Now, Coach, the N stands for next, and you're doing a lot of great things with Man in the Mirror and going across the country supporting the field representatives and the area directors. What would be the next big thing you would attempt to do for God if you couldn't fail?
You know, it's been a privilege these last 3 years to be asked to come on staff and oversee our guys around the country in this battle for men's souls. And I'm a lover of military history. I find this to be very similar to the D-Day invasion of World War II, but it's got to be an allied invasion. And so I'm looking to establish greater kingdom networking with ministry allies to see them fully engaged in the battle for men's souls, so we can attempt to see God fully reach every man in these encounters we have across this country and throughout the world, so that no man will be left behind.
Awesome. That is awesome. Now, Coach, the U represents understand. When you were younger, what was the one thing you didn't understand about being a man that you understand and know better now?
That's the connection between spiritual health and emotional health. A lot of guys come up the ranks with a father's wound. They may lack affirmation. They may lack an understanding of how God the Father serves in that capacity. And so looking back, again, that youth pastor who saw something in me, I was emotionally unhealthy in my desire as well to spiritually grow. And so those two things are connected, particularly in a man's world. And so to understand the significant value of how they are have to work in concert, the spiritual health of a man and his growth, but also the emotional health and growth of a man as well.
Right, right. And Coach, the last letter is P, and P stands for problem. And we know that you're a mighty man of God, but what one problem in your life do you still struggle with as a man even today?
Well, I'll give you a 1A and a 1B answer on this one. As far as these temperament issues, you know, Pat Morley writes about this in his signature book, Temperament Problems in a Man's Life. Anger management is still an issue for me. The lava can flow and the mountain can erupt. God's capped that mountain far more often these days than it has it before. So we've had some growth in that regard. But then also, as far as a truth issue, I love this quote from somebody: we take ourselves far too seriously and we don't take God seriously enough. I'm a reflective person. I'm a passionate individual. And so I'm analytical. And so sometimes I get so caught up in what God is revealing to me that I don't take him seriously enough. And so I don't want to get too consumed with my passions in life that I don't take him into the prioritization that he needs to be found.
Great. Thanks, Coach, for being so transparent and honest with us on that. Now, Coach, before we close out the podcast, what's the one thing you would want our listeners to remember most when it comes to connecting and reaching men for Christ?
Well, to go back to those three things that I want to be remembered for, I would hope to dispense this into the lives of men, to catch a vision, to see what God has, not only for you, but others, that he wants to use you to impact out there. Then have a passion for it. You know, we have passivity in modern manhood. Let's find the passion to follow God and to make him known. And then to be intentional with it. Again, taking a guy out for lunch. It could be breakfast for you, could be a cup of coffee. I have a missionary friend that's over in the region of the world. He says it takes 1,000 cups of tea. They drink tea versus coffee where he is. It takes 1,000 cups of tea to have one convert. Now, we're going to have a lot of higher degree of resonance in our. So I'm not asking guys to drink 1,000 cups of coffee at their local coffee shop. But would you go have one cup of coffee with a hurting man? Will you go have one lunch appointment with a guy who's a natural man? Will you take one guy to a college football game? Will you take one guy to an auto fair and have a chance to befriend him, get involved in his life, have a chance to, experience afresh and anew that God wants to work in you and through you on your own journey to biblical manhood?
Coach, that was perfectly stated. And I'm hoping that what you said, even some of the things you just threw out off the top of your head, that somebody would grab a hold of something like that and say, you know what, I'm going to take one step. I'm going to do something. So, Coach, I appreciate you sharing that with us. And, guys, we've reached the end of our program and our show today, but don't you worry, we'll be back to do it all again next week with a new guest, with new insights, and, of course, new lessons. So make sure you don't miss it. But I'd like to thank Coach K for joining us today, for being so gracious with his time. Thank you, Coach K. I appreciate it.
Joe, it's been an honor, and we'll continue to pray that God can use Real Men Connect to touch many lives.
Thank you, Coach. And Coach, quickly for our listeners, if they wanted to find out more about you, Man in the Mirror, what you're doing, the work you're doing, how could they connect with you and what could they do to reach you?
I would welcome further dialogue about any of these topics that they'd like to get greater clarification or some additional insights on. They can reach me through my email address, which is coachk@maninthemirror.org, coachk@maninthemirror.org. And or tons of resources and articles and webinars are out there on our website at maninthemirror.org, the website for our ministry. And so we'll look forward to seeing these guys take some right next steps. And if we can do some more coaching with them individually or collectively, we're here to serve.
Fantastic. And Coach, I'll make sure that we put that in the show notes so they'll have those links to your email address as well as the Man in the Mirror website as well. So thanks, Coach. And to all of you out there, please do us a favor. This is so important. Take about 30 seconds and go over to iTunes and rate the program. It's the best way to help us get the program in the hands, ears, and hearts of men just like you. And for those who've already left reviews, thank you so much. It's the way of helping us grow this podcast. And please don't keep us a secret. Share us with your friends. Until next time, I'm Joe Martin, your man builder with RealMenConnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man God called and created you to be. Because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in his grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast. It's a mission, ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.